This is Chris Miles here. Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. I am your host, obviously, Chris Miles. So excited to have you here today and excited to have our guest, Jason Hewlett, that we'll bring on in just a moment here. Hey, just to remind you, the whole purpose of this show is that we're all about how to create that life of freedom, a life that you love, and to create that life today. It's all about creating that cash flow, all about creating that life both with your money, your business, and everything you do in your life to enrich your life and make it better right now, not hoping and praying for something in 30, 40,000 years from now. It's all about today. And I'm excited. Remember, check out our website, moneyripples.com. We've got great blogs, podcasts. We've got recordings I've just put up here recently with webinars and things like that I've done. Definitely check those out. Lots of great free information you can take advantage of and really step up your game both financially and in everywhere you can see, especially in your money and your business. So I'm going to bring on here Jason Hewlett. Now, some of you, I bet, might know this guy because he's pretty freaking awesome. And now, as I mention all the time when I bring on guests, you know, I only bring on a few guests a month. And when I do, I make sure they're not posers. Like, they're the real deal, right? These are not people that are just fluffy. These are not people that are just some people that don't live what they preach. These are always people that really do what they say they're going to do, and they get results. And that's exactly what I want for you guys. Now, Jason, I've known since 2008. We've been known each other. We were met through mutual friends and be able to meet with him and Tammy and be able to get to know them really well. And I'll tell you, Jason is not just an outstanding entertainer, not just an outstanding comedian or humorist, whatever you call him, or even a keynote speaker. I mean, the guy is incredible. Yes, his impressions are amazing. If you go to YouTube, you should definitely check him out. He's got some incredible stuff. But I'll tell you, from a real personal standpoint of knowing him, man, he's got the biggest heart in the world. This guy is incredible. He's amazing. Love him. He's got a great message, and he makes you just laugh your pants off, if that's possible. And so, in any case, I brought him on because there's I'll just tell you, you'll know, but I mean, there's just so much depth to Jason. There's just no limits. So I definitely invite you to check out his website, jasonhewlett.com. Very funny guy, very amazing guy, and very powerful person to know and to really get to know his stuff. So, hey, Jason, welcome to the show.
Gosh, thanks, Chris. Can you be my manager?
Hey, you bet.
That was the best intro I've ever had. In fact, I think I'm going to replace my mom and my dad with you now. Because they used to say the nicest things. Now you just did, so thank you.
Well, I haven't quite given birth to you. I don't know if I can ever take you to that level, but you're welcome.
You gave me rebirth in my belief in my career. Thank you.
Awesome, man. Thanks. So, well, man, it's such a privilege to have you on our show because I know you're a busy guy. I mean, you're speaking all over the place. You're entertaining. You're speaking. I mean, you're everywhere. And I know just knowing you and knowing you professionally and personally that this is a very big privilege to have you on. So thank you so much for being here.
Well, thanks for having me, man. I'm excited with all the things you're doing. You're an incredible inspiration to me as well. Part of my goal every day is to wake up and check my Facebook, see what Chris Miles is up to so I can try to keep up.
The best part of waking up is a little bit of Chris in your cup. Is that what it is?
Exactly. It goes for miles and miles, baby.
Awesome. So let's start out. Jason, you know, tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself. You know, how did you become Jason Hewlett?
Ah, that is the question. You know, what's funny to people is that as an impressionist, I'm really doing other people's voices all the time, and so people are surprised to find out that I have my own. But I found out when I was young that I was different from everyone else. And the first day of school, got on the bus, I had a bigger mouth than everybody else. I could do things with my face and my voice and just made people laugh right from the get-go. That was kind of my thing. It got me in trouble, though. That was the first realization of who I was that I was in trouble and that I was not very smart compared to everyone else in my class. And so I had to learn quickly how to fail just enough to figure out what I was good at. And I wrote a book a couple of years ago, and finally this year got it finished. It's taken me nearly a decade to finish this book. It's called Signature Moves. And I talk about the secrets to discovering that thing that makes you different, creating a niche for yourself, becoming invaluable, if you will. And so within the book, I talk about how often I failed at things and how terrible I was at at school, how terrible I was at behaving in class. And the only thing I was good at was making people laugh. And fortunately for me, I had teachers, mentors, those types of people that leveraged that and allowed me to use it as a tool, which from then on, I continued to struggle to just be quiet, but I became more of a partner with the teacher rather than just student-teacher. It was an interesting combination. A friend of ours, Ty Bennett, talks about partnership is the new leadership, and I really like that because I became partners with a lot of my teachers and eventually became the student body president of my school. And I believe that because I had teachers that believed in me, and in other words, mentors, they changed my whole world, my whole life. They saw in me things I didn't realize were unique. And that's kind of how it all began, Chris. Does that strike a chord?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I know it's those little things that matter, doesn't it? It's just those little shifts, those little people that might inspire you along the way that just kind of helps hone in on what you really do, right?
Yeah, I mean, I remember watching great actors on TV or listening to great music and trying to do those voices, trying to mimic somebody that was better than me. And some of the principles for your listeners that I think would be valuable is the importance of discovering yourself. A lot of the times we don't see what's unique about ourselves for some reason because it's so ingrained within us that it's just who we are. We don't see that we stand out. And so fortunately, if we surround ourselves with people such as, you know, your friendship and friends that I've gathered along the way, parents, siblings, spouse, those types of people can really help you discover what makes you unique, special, amazing, different. And then when you get those mentors that say, hey, you know what, you need to do that thing again that you did that was so amazing. And you just sort of say, well, that wasn't amazing. I just did it. To, you know, it's like when I watch my accountant work, I go, how do you do this so well? And he says, how do you perform so well? So he doesn't ever want to be on a stage, just like I don't ever want to try to do my own taxes. And so we let each other succeed by supporting one another. And it's just like what you do with, you know, the financial planning and all this motivational, empowering, you know, money ripples. It's an awesome thing that you do. You help people discover how to have a freedom in their time, their life, with relationships. It's not just about money. You've created yourself, your own niche, and you do it with a friendly flair. A lot of the financial planners I've run into are kind of downers, man. And so, so that's something that makes you extraordinarily different. And what made me different was being able to do the voices of other people in order to figure out my own. And so as odd as that may sound, I think if we look back on some of the great artists of all time, Michelangelo copied Da Vinci, you know, and then all the way down to the Van Gogh and other people up until today, Salvador Dali, these guys all just kind of mimicked each other until they came up with their own move, their own signature, to the point that if you see a Salvador Dali painting or M.C. Escher, you don't even need to see their signature at the bottom because they've got their signature move painted throughout that whole piece. Or Michael Jackson. He didn't just come up with the sound of Michael Jackson. He listened to Diana Ross, Smokey Robinson. He tried to mimic those people, and eventually he became the greatest entertainer in the world. He watched the dance moves of James Brown and people dancing in the streets of Harlem on the city corners, and he created from that the moonwalk, which was his signature move.
Right.
And so, you know, by watching the people around us, by taking it all in, I call it mimicking the masters and having mentors. And hopefully we all have those, especially those that are listening today. Because, you know, really, Chris, what you're doing, you're a mentor to the people listening. You mentor me, and I sometimes maybe mentor you in some ways. It's a good give and take.
Oh, totally. No, that's definitely it. It's taking what you know and being who you are and taking the best of it and turning that volume up, isn't it?
Exactly. So
make it better.
Make it all better.
I can't remember who it was that said it. You were the one that recommended it about Michael Jackson, and seriously love the movie. Watched that movie with our family several times, and I can't remember who said it, but it was a big epiphany for me that changed even how I see this conversation was. I think somebody in there said Michael Jackson wasn't a singer that could dance. He was a dancer that could sing.
Exactly.
Like, that's what just made him so unique is that, great, he could sing, but he was a dancer first and foremost. The singing was the part he did on top of it, and that's just what he added to it, made it his own, and made him memorable.
And, you know, if there's an entrepreneur that's listening, somebody who's saying to themselves, gosh, I'm really a good salesperson, but I'm a terrible manager of my office, the question is really, can you get to the place where you can sell, and hire the right people around you, whether it's a VA, a virtual assistant on the side, or somebody full-time? I mean, allowing the people that are good at what they do to do what they do, utilizing them and their talents rather than you slaving away at the accounting side and the management side and the details. You just need to go out and sell, man. And so if you're a stay-at-home mom who's trying to create her business, do those things that you're best at. Find the opportunities. And unfortunately, what happens is our days get gobbled up by the details and by other people's needs. What if we could just sort of create this place and save ourselves to do what we're best at? And that's something I've been working at creating for a long time. I finally do have an office now with about 12 independent contractors who work with me on a part-time basis, but they're all on monthly retainers. And that's changed my whole business in order to allow me to be what I'm best at, which is not a business owner, not a manager, not a sales guy, but the artist.
Right.
And so I am an artist first and foremost. And I found out through the years that when people would hire me to do a show, the reason they hired me was because I was going to deliver a show that was G-rated and family-friendly and was a Las Vegas quality act. I don't know that many people that have found that type of a niche.
That's rare.
Yeah, and I created that because I noticed there was a segment missing in the market for it, and people were hungry for it. And upon finding out that people wanted that more and more, I became more and more successful.
You had people that were naysayers about that too, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, all the way from the beginning. I mean, back in 2000 was my first show. Within 3 years, I was being offered a Las Vegas contract that would make anybody drool. And the guy said to me, hey, you know, you're great. You're going to be the next big star. We'd love to give you millions of dollars, but you need to change your act. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, our audience expects an adult-type show. And I said, well, my show is geared toward families. And he said, that's fine and dandy for your thing here if you want to do that. But to be with us, you need to do something a little bit more more interesting for the audience, if you will. And we could not come to an agreement on that. Fine walking away from millions of dollars because I'd rather sleep at night knowing that I was doing what I was supposed to do. And I set out to do something extraordinary, which was a family-friendly show that was Las Vegas quality. And unfortunately, the money was a little bit tight at that point. But I feel that through the years, I think I've made up for it by doing corporate events. And now I get to go and speak and be a master of ceremonies, get to go and talk at schools. It's very cool, man, to create the career and the existence you want.
You know, it's amazing is my own kids. My kids are huge, adoring fans, right? I mean, when they knew that I knew Jason Hewlett, they freaked out. They're like, you know him? Like, it was almost like Elf. It's like, Santa, I know him. It was just like that. And it's kind of funny when I bring up Michael Jackson, they say, now Michael Jackson copied Jason Hewlett, right?
That's funny. Because
they saw your dance moves of Michael Jackson first. I've shown tons of Michael Jackson videos and Weird Al. Let's admit it. You got to have both. But they're still, to this day, they're like, wait, who taught who? Because they see both of you as being geniuses and just amazing at what you do.
Well, that's very funny. I appreciate that. It's also kind of, you know, also scares me, like I might get electrocuted for that, but that's very kind of you. What's funny about that too, my kids are, you know, all under the age of 10. I have four of them, and like you, they're very young and excited and impressionable. And what's funny is when they hear a song that I do in my show, they just kind of figure it's me. And then when they hear it on CD or the radio, they flip out, think it's me. And I tell them, hey, wait a minute. That's just Daddy doing that guy's voice. And they can't believe it. It's very funny. They don't seem to understand. But I think that's the power of discovering that you can do something well, but at the same time, I'll never be able to recreate what Michael Jackson could do with the moonwalk. I can do it close. I could never do it perfect like him. He'll always do it better. And that's what's beautiful about a signature move. Everybody has 1, 2, 5, 10, depending on how hard you work or what you've been blessed with. But yeah, I love that your kid said that's very funny.
Well, you know, and you brought something to mind that I'm coming up with a lot of questions and things. I think I want to have you speak on that I didn't intend initially, but that's kind of coming out. But I mean, what role would you say passion has to do with this? Because I've noticed with you, and I've watched you rehearse and get ready to perform, and there's I've noticed that there's a huge level of, or not even a level, I'd say a desire for mastering it. You want to make it perfect, you know, maybe almost too perfect sometimes, right?
Yeah, I mean, that can drive you crazy. and you know, to the point that some people want it so perfect, they don't ever finish it. For example, my book took me almost 10 years to finish it because I was so worried about it being perfect. And, you know, it never will be. And so, unfortunately, people die with the music or the art still inside of them because they're so worried about perfectionism. But I appreciate the thought on mastery. I tried very hard to master these impressions because the challenge that I face is that somebody's judging my live performance off of music they've potentially heard for 30 years since they were a little child, ingrained into their brain as to what, you know, Michael Jackson or Elvis or Elton John might sound like from a perfect recorded studio, and I'm doing it live for one minute. So I have to recreate something very, very timed out and really as perfected as possible. It's fun to try it, but I do have a certain amount of passion that drives that. And it's really just to make sure the audience enjoys it and escapes to that place where they can, you know, say, wow, I just saw something special and I remember that. And it makes them laugh. That's cool.
I was just going to ask you, what's your ultimate goal with every audience?
To make them feel good. I mean, in my own way, you know, you can feel good doing a lot of things. I have my own way of making them feel happy and high as a kite. And, you know, I guess it's my way of being either a doctor or a drug dealer. But I tried my darndest to make people smile and walk away rather than just happy. I really want them to feel inspired and want them to go away considering what makes them great, makes them different, and help their children see what makes them different. If they're in a work environment, help the people that they work with discover those strengths that they maybe haven't been utilizing as well. To have the gal that's answering the phone for you who should not be talking to people perhaps, or the person that shouldn't be answering emails and just talking to people. There are little roles that we can all do as managers and in corporate America and help those people that are good at something in particular really hone that craft. And we can help people discover their signature moves by pointing it out. You just say, man, that's amazing you did that. And they go, no, it's not. Yeah, it is. Do it again. That's how we help someone else create their signature with our passion for them to succeed.
Oh, love it. So you mentioned having people really point that out, having those mentors. I know you've had a lot of mentors along the way, as you just mentioned. You know, tell people a little bit about your experience when you finally left Vegas, because you were doing Impressions. That was the name of the show, correct?
Yeah, it was called Legends in Concert.
That's right.
I was I was Ricky Martin for all 9 months of his career, and then I was Elton John for about a year as well. So I got to do these two impersonations of these guys, and it was very cool. And then I left Vegas. And tell me where you're going with it.
Yeah, well, I know definitely they kind of, there were some naysayers along the way, right? That definitely said that you'd never make it, you'd never get better than where you were at, correct?
Oh, yeah. With that show, that was pretty much the top of the heap for an impersonator, somebody that does a character. And so they said, if you leave this job, you're pretty much quitting the best job you'll ever have as an entertainer. And I was making $1,500 a week doing this Vegas show. It was very good money at the time. And all these other guys were thrilled with what they were making. And I thought, well, I do like 100 voices. Well, I don't want to do two. And I'm Ricky Martin. I'm not Jason Hewlett doing all these other things. So I left, and they told me I'd be back, and I never went back. I just created a one-man show that I hadn't seen anyone else do other than maybe my hero Danny Gans or Gordy Brown, some of those local Vegas guys. And I said, I want a show like that. Then I'll be a headliner. And so I quickly went from $1,500 a week doing the Ricky Martin, Elton John thing to leaving my corporate job, if you will, and making, you know, $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 a night doing corporate events. Pretty cool.
I agree. Now, in that process, I imagine you probably didn't know all of your signature moves. You were still in that process of discovery and trying to hone it, make it better. The story I'd love you to share with our listeners is a time when you made that leap, you made that jump, and then you're trying to figure out what to do, and you're at a point where definitely you don't have that comfort of the corporate job anymore, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
And then you get the invite from your dad to go to Montana. Would you mind sharing that story?
Oh man, I can't believe you remember that. Yeah,
one of my favorites.
I got an invite to go do a birthday party for a guy for my dad's friend. You know, the guy had no money for me, and I drove 8 hours from Salt Lake City up to Montana, and my wife and I went up there hoping that we could just make my dad feel happy that I did this show for this guy at a country club. And so I did the show, and I kind of did my best. I did 35 to 50 impressions of Billy Joel and Jim Carrey and a velociraptor from Jurassic Park and the Chipmunks, and I did my whole act.
Yeah.
And when I was done, he came up and threw his arms around me. It was his 50th birthday party. He was really thrilled that his friends could see it. And he said, I'm going to help you get some work. And I said, oh, that's nice. And I just kind of figured he was lying, because that's pretty much what happened all the time I did other free shows.
Yeah.
I got an email a call from him a couple of weeks later, and he, it turns out, was a member of the National Petroleum Association for oil and gas companies. And so he referred me to this group, one of my first paid gigs. And from that gig, I got a standing ovation as usual. And then all of a sudden I got 4 or 5 other gigs from oil companies. And the next thing I know, within 3 months, I'm performing for one company in particular, Sinclair Oil Company, which is really a big company out in the West. And I was there, the owners, who are multi-billionaires, very dear friends, or the holding family. They took my wife and I on their Gulfstream jet all over the country performing private parties for all their friends and companies. And it was a miracle. It all came out of a free show. And so the point for that is really, my goodness, if you have something you do well, do it often. Do it even when someone's not willing to pay you, because if you can bless someone's life, I truly believe whether it's the universe or God, whatever your belief is, it will come back. We reap what we sow. And these people hired me for event after event, and it started my corporate career. I was really wondering how I was going to make it after leaving that corporate job. Next thing I know, I'm performing all over the world for thousands of dollars per night to happy audiences and standing ovations, and found my niche. And my market was, I was a G-rated entertainer doing corporate events, holiday parties, and these people used me as their guy. It was amazing. That was the beginning of this whole thing.
This is amazing how just one show, just one person, is such a big difference.
One person makes all the difference. If they believe in you, I use a lot of my clients, and I hate to use the word use, but it's true. I use them as my agents. I mean, in essence, nothing can come from them other than, hey, this guy is amazing, you need to check him out. And that's a lot better than coming from me. I mean, if it came from me, it's bragging, but from them, it's proof.
Right.
So I love when they refer me, and I let them.
Absolutely. Man, that's awesome.
Thanks for remembering that story. That's cool.
No, I think that story is powerful because a lot of times people see the Jason Hewlett of today, but, you know, Jason Hewlett wasn't always Jason Hewlett, right? I mean, and it was how you showed up that made all the difference, of course. How you really try to create value is a big key. But
yeah.
It wasn't like you just made it overnight. It took a lot of time to create that overnight success, right?
In my song, The Traveling Man, I say, you know, I might be an overnight sensation someday after all this, you know, 10 years of work. So it's kind of like it does take somebody else to believe in you. It does take all of that, but you have to deliver, man. You can't just show up for a free show expecting to get a handout. You have to give your all in everything you do every time. And I learned that through doing a lot of shows in Las Vegas for people that didn't care, that didn't clap, that got free tickets and didn't even want to be there. They wouldn't even smile. Sometimes we'd have audiences of 10 people, other times audience of 1,000. It's pretty hard to play your all out to an audience of 10 people in a 1,000-seat empty theater.
Right.
But those 10 people took the time to come, I'm going to give them a show, and they're going to walk away and go, wow, that was great. And that leads to something eventually, and it's led to my career being successful, thank goodness.
Yeah, thank goodness. No, and I'd love that, because if it weren't for that, I don't know if we would have met. So that's the
For real.
Now, I know.
Very cool, but I would love if your listeners and would be interested in some of my things that I have. I have a book, I have a DVD, they're all on the website. I know you've enjoyed it with your family, you said, right?
Oh yeah, we love it. We keep bragging to our friends about it. Like, you gotta watch this guy. Like, who is he? I'm like, just trust us, watch it, you'll love him. yeah. Now you have a special little offer for our guests, correct?
Yeah, and you know, this is only normally for my people on my newsletter, but I'm happy to extend it to your listeners if they'd like to go to my website, which is jasonhewlett.com. Hewlett spelled the same as Hewlett Packard. And if they go to my website to the shop or the store, they can get the DVD or my book at 25% off. All they have to do is enter the coupon code Xmas, as in Christmas, Xmas 25. And if they want to get 25% off, it's Xmas 25 or Christmas 25. And then the 2-for-1 combo pack, if you want to get the book and the DVD, you can get a 2-for-1. That coupon code is Xmas Combo. So Christmas Combo. If you want to put that in, you'll get a great deal. I'd love for your listeners and associates to share that around. It would be fun to have some people light up with joy and happiness on a Christmas morning as they open their stockings full of Jason Hewlett stuff.
Oh yeah. And trust me, if you want to put a really big smile on people's faces and share that around, it's worth it. You'll give a gift that nobody else is expecting, which is great. And I'll tell you, I mean, we've actually played this DVD for our neighbors on the garage. So we've actually done like little neighborhood parties where we'll put a movie on the garage, and one night we said, let's do Jason Hewlett. Like, this is just too good to not do. And I'll tell you, kids and adults alike love it. You know, so I'll tell you, if I've got 5 kids between the ages of 2 and 10, just absolutely craving it and wanting to see him, that show is just great. And Jason, I'm grateful that you weren't perfectionistic to the point that you didn't produce that DVD. I'm so grateful you did.
Well, guess what? You're funny in saying that, because it actually took me 13 years to produce that video. I feel like that show probably could not have gotten better, and now I'm doing a new show because I thought, well, I've got that one down pat. Let's record it. Now it's offered to some people, and then I'm going to start a new one. So I've got a new show coming out. Hopefully the DVD will be done by March or April of this next year.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Now, I know you're speaking to different groups nowadays. What kind of groups are you speaking to that if anybody wanted to book you, what kind of groups would you be doing?
You know, I'm still trying to figure out what that niche really is, to be honest with you. I wish I could be the guy that says, yeah, I come in and speak to everybody, but I don't know if that would be the right answer. The audiences I prefer to speak to, companies, would be multi-level marketing, especially because I live in Utah. A lot of these companies have hired me as their MC or their entertainment, so I like to come in and help entrepreneurs discover that thing that makes them unique. And then I'll come in and talk about that. I also do a talk called Head to Heart, which is something, a system created by Johnny Covey of the Covey family. And he's an incredible creator and speaker as well. But I'm a certified Head to Heart trainer. And so what I do is I come in and teach the people how to get out of their head into their heart, how to get out of those blockages of being able to sell or being able to have the life they want to create and actually going for it. And so I can do combination of signature moves or head to heart, a couple other talk titles, but I really do like to speak to sales guys, management, those sort of groups.
Awesome. No, and I've heard your stuff. It's awesome. It's great. I love it. So, well, Jason, thank you so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate having you on, and it's such a pleasure and an honor to have you on the show.
Well, I'm honored to be your friend, and I appreciate all you do. You make the world a better place, so it's good to be associated with Chris Miles. Thanks, man.
You bet, man. Well, hey, to the rest of you, thank you so much. Again, I hope you have I hope you really enjoy this interview and take it to heart and apply this in your lives, because when you start to apply this and put it to action, that's when the real results happen. That's when this goes from dreaming to doing. So everybody, check out jasonhewlett.com. And be sure to join us next time as we come back on the Chris Miles Money Show. Have a great day.